We are about to read an ancient story told in the Gospel of Matthew. It was a normal day in the Temple of Jerusalem for those days. Very normal. Lots of talking, lots of arguments without much of real value being done. A normal day in the temple. Talk, 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 chat, 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 visit, 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 do a little bit of business, and so on. Not much happened. And then Jesus came in, and some people looked up, others didn't. And as was the custom in those days, Jesus chose a place, and he started to speak, and he started to teach the people around him. And I can imagine one of the Pharisees said, "There he is again, there he is again. He's just looking for trouble. Everywhere he goes, and now he's teaching the people all sorts of new things." And immediately they were agitated and felt the distance, and they felt threatened. And they wished they could silence him, because they knew by then he's saying the sort of thing that they don't enjoy, and especially he's usually not very friendly when he speaks about the leaders of the church. And he challenged them. And if you listen to the story, because that's what we're going to read, you will see how Jesus took the argument and changed it into a challenge. And that challenge changed some of his listeners, we know that. And it's been happening for 2,000 years. Because it was a challenge to stop talking and start doing something that has real value, life value, eternal value. I hope this introduction will take us into the temple as we follow what happened. Matthew 21 verse 23. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Then Jesus said to them, "Well, I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things." Then came the question, "Did the baptism of John," that's from John the Baptist, "did the baptism of John come from heaven or was it of human origin?" Now you can imagine, wait, don't answer, don't be too quick. They started arguing with one another. Behind their hands, Jesus shouldn't hear. If we say from heaven, he will say to us, "Why then did you not believe it?" But if we say of human origin, well, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet. So they answer Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Gotcha." He said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." He answered, "I will not." Later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, "I go, sir, I go." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? And they said, "Well, the first." And later you will understand why this is so important. Because he had them exactly where he wanted and needed them at that moment. They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you." For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him. Amazing. Amazing how Jesus changed the moment, not only into an address to the church leaders, but to people of all ages. Dear friends, back to the reality of our time. There's a certain engineer, and he was not very pleased with his workmen because he thought they were lazy. And one day he received a call from his crew of road workers who drove out to the country to fix a road. Because, as they told him, so when we got to the job site, we suddenly remembered that we had left our shovels back in town. Now he was furious. I will send the shovels out right away, and meanwhile, you lean on each other. Well, I hope we put our shovels to better use than that. In this parable, however, Jesus was not talking about lazy workers. He was actually saying to the church leaders of his time, you are talking the talk, but you are not walking the walk. In this delightful story told by Jesus, one boy pretended that he was going to do the work that his father wanted him to do. And the other yelled that he wasn't going to do a thing. But eventually he came around and he did what his dad wanted him to do. Now the chief priests and the elders in Jesus' time had these endless arguments. They had these tricky questions. And they were always hoping that Jesus would say something that they could use against him. They were hopelessly stuck in their own ways. To put it differently, God's way was no longer their way. And now Jesus was calling them away from their ancient rituals and ceremonies. Because obviously, Jesus was watching them. Because they were taking offerings, and the offerings were burnt in those days, and the flames would go up, offerings to God. But Jesus saw right through them, and he knew that their hearts did not burn like their offertory flames. So this time he refused to join in the argument, and he told them the story of the workers in the vineyard instead. The story of a son who promised his father to work in his vineyard and never got around to it. While the other, who was not really planning on it, changed his mind and got the job done. Message is clear. Somehow you will have to stop talking and begin doing something. My friends, now it becomes a little bit clearer. The vineyard that needed care in the story of Jesus, we understand today, is nothing but the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God calling people to step forward and to work and to serve and to be part of God's work and to be part of the great harvest. It was a world that had to be conquered. And meaningful change was to come about. And it had to happen. Otherwise, no lives would be changed. And more action was needed. Now the message that Jesus was bringing to the ancient church leaders was very urgent. Was very direct. Personally, I cannot help it, but I consider it as one of the key verses in the Gospel of Jesus Christ. his call, where he said, "But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Get your priorities straight. And that was the challenge to the church leaders of 2,000 years ago. And now we're beginning to understand something. Did you notice where Jesus was taking them? Because they, the church leaders, studied. They were called. They were ordained. They were trained to work in the temple to lead God's people. They promised they would do God's work. But somehow they never got around to doing it. And they got caught up instead in senseless and useless rituals and arguments. So the son that said yes and never did a thing was indeed those who were supposed to build the kingdom of God. And then Jesus conjured up the image of those who originally turned their backs and said no when they were called. And he names them the prostitutes, the tax collectors, what people in those days usually listed as the sinners of that time. And Jesus said they were now changing their mind. They were beginning to give attention. They were beginning to listen. They were obeying the call. They were turning to God. And they were beginning to follow Jesus in God's vineyard. The church leaders was making arguments. Former sinners saved by grace were now doing God's will, while the church of his time was blind to notice that God's kingdom was coming. They were not going to stop it. But the message that they had to receive that day was, God can do without you. You will not stop the message of God's redemption and love for this world. The leaders were put on notice. God's going to do it without you. You won't even be missed, because others are taking up the call. You know, I cannot help it that if a message doesn't go through my own heart, I better stay away from the pulpit. But what would happen in my life if God would say, I can do without you. I've got plenty to call. Let them come. Maybe they will promote my kingdom on earth. Is the story still true? Or is it just 2,000 years ago, long in the past? Or does the story still challenge us and tells us that Jesus has the power to move you and me so that our lives will be put into God's service and that we will never be the same again? Only God. Only God. Only God through God's Spirit can take an almost lost cause and breathe on it with his Holy Spirit and let people sense that their God is not the absent one, that their God is the present one, as promised in Scripture, moving from person to person, speaking as God's Spirit, from heart to heart. God is present. And only God can truly rebuild you and me and all our people and every newcomer into a people transformed and inspired to be God's people, even in July 2007, in times like these. In the parable of Jesus, things didn't quite turn out the way the father expected and maybe had hoped. The first son who answered, "I will not," changed his mind and spent the entire day working in his father's vineyard. The second one, the one who said, "I will go, sir," also had a change of mind. Maybe some of his friends came by and asked him to go with them, and he went. Whatever. The one who promised to help his father did not. And then came what we would say the trick question. Jesus asked the chief priests and the elders of the temple, "Which of the two would you say did the will of his father?" And there he had them checkmate at that moment. Out of their own mouths, they condemned themselves. The first. The one who didn't promise like we did, but who was faithful and went forward and did the work. The parable no longer puzzled them. Suddenly they understood. They understood that it was not about them. And maybe they realized that they were the ones who failed to work in the vineyard of the Father in spite of all their yes saying and beautiful promises of long ago. Jesus was really saying, "You've had your turn. Others are stepping forward. I see I can no longer use the scribes and the Pharisees. But hark and listen. The prostitutes heard. The sinners heard. The tax collectors heard. See them come. See them come. See them offer themselves in the vineyard of the kingdom of God." Because, my friends, 2,000 years ago was a critical time in the history of the world. 2,000 years ago, some people missed the boat. They bypassed the times of God and ended on a road to nowhere because they were not tuned in to the Spirit of God. Because they insisted on their own ways. So true of these officials. Jesus in person was standing in front of them. And they were so busy with their arguments, so scared that he would mess with them, that they even failed to recognize him. Today, with our hindsight, do you know the greatest events in the history of the world were taking place right there in their midst? And they said no to the opportunity to be part of it. God was moving while they were talking and talking and arguing and talking, and let Jesus pass them by. I wonder if the religious officials ever got the point of the message of Jesus. I wonder if you and I in this busy world of ours are still getting the point, because the message of God carried from mouth to mouth for centuries brings the invitation fresh and new even here into our midst today. Sometimes you and I are blind to God's actions in our lives. Sometimes we are all talk and no action. And sometimes we turn our back and refuse to let God break into our lives and help us make a new beginning by the grace of God. Call me an optimist and say that I am not a realist, but I still believe with all my heart that the true voice of Jesus Christ will never, never be silenced. God is still speaking, and even today, this morning, even through this humble pulpit, our God is calling people like you and like me, saying to us, come now, let us go. We have work to do. Follow me. God often visits us. Mostly, we are not in. May you and I be present and ready and willing to heed God's call once again or for the first time this very day. As the psalmist said, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. We are the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today, if you hear his voice, you would listen. You would listen. Let your kingdom come, O God, and make us a part of its coming. Amen.